to turn to Isaiah chapter 28. We've been looking the last few weeks at how to study the Bible. We've spent the last few weeks looking at our approach. Tonight we want to begin looking at the method of reading and studying the Word of God. The word method simply means procedure, implies a systematic procedure or technique, a plan. And all of this, of course, is the design of it is to attain an object, to attain something. And what we want to attain when reading and studying the Word of God is the same thing we want to attain when we approach it. That is accuracy. So our method should lead to accuracy, should lead to discovery, that is discovering what God says. Again, it's not for you and I to determine what God means. He's already determined that. It's for you and I to discover what the Lord means. And then our method, of course, should lead to application. So method is very, very important. It should be orderly. It should be systematic and not random. And again, we have to remember that the Word of God is more than just a book of facts. It does have a plot. It has an overall plot. And God teaches in a very orderly and systematic fashion. As you go through the Word of God and follow the Lord's teaching, you cannot help but notice it's very orderly. And it's very, very systematic. That's the way God teaches. It's the way man ought to teach also. Now notice in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 10, and we'll also read verse 13. Verse 10, for precept must be upon precept. And as we build precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Verse 13, but the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. So we see God reveals truth progressively all through the Word of God. Yet, so many people read the Word of God in a very haphazard way. They read it just kind of roaming at random, looking for whatever they feel they need at that particular time. And that's how they study the Word of God. That's how they look at the Word of God. They feel a certain way a certain day, so they'll just kind of thumb through and try to find what they need for that day. But that's not how to study the Word of God. That just hopping from chapter to chapter in a haphazard way, hopping from verse to verse in a very haphazard way. And when people do that, they never really obtain lasting results from studying and reading the Scriptures. And that's what we want. We want lasting results. So our method has to be orderly. Our method has to be systematic. Our method has to be methodical. It's just, we're not in a hurry. When studying the Word of God, we're not in a hurry. When reading the Word of God, we're not in a hurry. And yet that so many of the so-called Bible reading programs, that's what they promote, is you got to read through it. You got to read through it. It's not a race. You do not have to be in a hurry to read the Word of God. So our method should be orderly. Our method should cause us to meditate. That is, our mind should be actively engaged with what we're reading. We have to really be thinking about reading. We have to read in a way to make application, and then, of course, pray that the Spirit of God would help us and to teach us. And then our study, our method has to be very precise. The Bible is very, very precise. The Bible is very minute, very exact. God does not teach, and a lot of people wish He did, but God does not teach in vague terms. God teaches with very definite terms, and He teaches with very definite precision. The problem is, most people do not like what God says. They do not like what God teaches, so they seek to change what he's saying. But again, there's nothing vague about what God says. It's black and white, and it's very plain, and most of it is very, very easy to understand. I mean, there shouldn't be any difficulty at all. The only difficulty comes, again, is when people try to change it and try to make it say something that it doesn't say. So it's very precise. That being so, it's important that our method be exact, that our method leads us to precision. That, of course, requires diligence. It requires great carefulness, and it requires very close attention. And that's the only way that you will get any lasting profit from studying the Word of God. You have to be diligent. If you're not going to be diligent, you're not going to get lasting profit. You not only have to be diligent, you have to be careful. You have to be careful not to misinterpret, not to misrepresent what it says. And then you have to pay attention. You have to pay attention when you're reading the Word of God. All of this requires observation. When reading the Word of God, we have to observe. Again, we can sit down and read a novel, and you can read about half the words and probably not miss a whole lot. But when you're reading the Word of God, there has to be very careful observation. You have to observe. You have to observe words. You have to observe phrases. You have to observe structure. You have to observe historical background. But you have to observe. You cannot approach the Word of God and be oblivious to what you're reading. And if you are observing, this causes accuracy. And accuracy leads to correct interpretation. And correct interpretation, as we've already said, leads to a valid application. So our method has to be precise. It has to promote accuracy. Well, we want to think tonight just upon observing, observation. Because I'm convinced that most people, when they read the Word of God, do not observe what they read. They do not observe what they read. Now, a precise method will always include observation, and it will always result in observation. And the more we study God's Word, the more we ought to be observing it, the more we ought to be observing words. So to observe, of course, is simply to recognize, to notice. And how many times we read the Word of God, but we don't notice it. We don't notice what we're reading. It's easy to read something and not really comprehend what you're reading, not really notice what you're reading. But that should never be true when we're reading the Word of God. We ought to recognize what we're reading. We ought to notice what we're reading. Again, it's the opposite of being oblivious, and it requires great attention, and it requires mindfulness. So observation is crucial. It's crucial to comprehension. The more you observe, you're reading, the more you comprehend what you read. And the more you comprehend what you read, again, that's crucial to interpretation. And interpretation is crucial to application. So we have to observe. Observing is simply, again, it should lead us to discover what it says. By observing, that's what we want to do. We want to find out, what does it say? It's not what we want it to say. It's we observe to discover what it says. And that's how we ought to always approach the Word of God. We are observing. We're observing words. We're observing structure. We're observing everything that there is. And the purpose is to discover what it says. Now, and this leads to interpretation. And interpretation is simply discovering what it means. Again, it's not determining what it means. It is discovering what it means. But how do you discover what it means? You have to observe. You have to observe. And then application is discovering how we can put it, how we can put it all to use. And the goal of observation, the goal of interpretation, and the goal of application is transformation and conformity to the Word of God. That should always be the goal when we open up the Word of God, that we would be transformed, that we would be conformed to the Word of God. But it's really amazing how many people read the Word of God without observation. Again, you could prove it very easily. You could have people read a passage of Scripture, and then you could just ask them very basic questions on that passage that anybody should be able to see just from reading through it quickly. And a large percentage of people could not tell you what they read. They couldn't tell you. And the reason is because they didn't observe. They did not observe. They just read without observing. They read, but they cannot tell you what they read. They're oblivious. They're unobservant. And that's a habit. If you are unobservant and oblivious when reading the Word of God, that is a learned habit. It is something that you have learned to do. Just the opposite is true also. You can read the Word of God and you can observe. You can observe every single word. That also is a learned habit. It's something we have to learn. We have to learn to observe. Because in our society, we are not very observant. We're not generally very observant. For the most part, we're oblivious. But when it comes to reading the Word of God, we have to observe and we have to learn how. We have to learn how to observe. We need to train ourselves to carefully observe. Anytime we read the Word of God, to train ourselves, okay, I am going to pay very close attention. I am going to observe what I'm reading so that I can understand what I'm reading. Now, there's three things that we want to deal with as far as observation in the next several weeks. There ought to be an observing of the whole, which is an overview observation. That is, you should, and we'll do this tonight, but you should be able to read a verse of Scripture without stopping, just reading it through, and be able to observe some things. Everybody should be able to do that. Just read it through without stopping, without pondering, and you should be able to observe basic facts about that Scripture. You should immediately know. Just basic observation immediately tells you the subject of the verse or the passage. From there, we want to advance to the next step, which is observing parts. That is, you observe the structure of a verse or the structure of a passage. You observe the framework. And the last, of course, is observing the details. And there's an order. And this order, this has got to be the order. There is an overview observation. it's like a survey. And then there is an observing of the parts. You're going to get an outline, basically. You're going to get a framework. And then from there, it's easy to now observe the details. And if you follow that order, the details aren't hard to find. But you have to follow that order. You can't get out of order. So you start with observing the whole, or an overview, a survey, and you work toward the details. Now, most people, when they read the Word of God, are not interested in the details. But what you've got to realize, in reading the Word of God, that's where the wealth is. That's where the treasure is, in the details. Oh, yeah, there's treasure in just an overview, but not like there is in the details. The whole goal is to get to the details. Get to the details of a verse. Get to the details of a book. So first of all, there should always be an overview observation when we're reading the Word of God. And what we mean by that is you read through a passage of Scripture. You do not stop to ponder what it's saying. You just read through it. And there should be, when you just read through it, there should be an initial impression. For example, if I was going to study the book of Jonah, I would read through it just without stopping for anything, just read through it maybe 5 or 6 times. And in that, I can make a lot of general observations. In doing that, now I have an overview of what the book of Jonah is about. Now, after I do that, now I'm ready to go back. And now I can begin to observe the parts. And then after you observe the parts, then you're ready to get into the details. But just reading through a passage of Scripture, there should be an initial impression. There should be a general feel and a sense of the subject. We ought to have a pretty good idea of this is the subject. And we get that by just reading through. You say, well, I don't get that. If you don't, it's because you do not pay enough attention when you're reading. I mean, if you can read through a passage of Scripture and you can't immediately identify some things, you're not paying attention. And that is a learned habit. And it is a very bad habit. It is a very destructive habit. So you have to, if that's the case, you read through a verse of Scripture, but you don't see anything, you need to learn to pay attention. While you're reading, you need to get your mind entirely upon what you're reading. So that we can, and the purpose of this, an overview observation, is basically just getting, you're just looking for the plain sense of what is said. And everybody should be able to do that just by reading it. Just the plain sense of what it says. And you can do that if you're not prejudiced. You're not trying to make it say something that it's not. It's just like a detective. A detective is going to look for the obvious clues before he looks for the details. And it's the same when reading the Word of God. We have to look for the obvious. And we do that by again, just reading it through. We can see the very obvious. Now, the Bible, of course, we know contains 66 books, 1,189 chapters, I believe, 23,214 verses, 773,692 words. That's a lot. That is a lot to observe. And it covers approximately 1,600 years. But everything in the Word of God has its proper place. And everything is in relation to the whole. And that's why we have to have an overview of the whole. And if we have an overview of the whole, it's much easier to then notice the parts. And once we've noticed the parts, then it's easier to notice the details. And just like working a jigsaw puzzle. The wise thing to do is to look at the picture on the box. That's the first thing you do, is you look at the picture on the box. That gives you some idea of where the pieces go. And by looking at the picture on the box, I can get a pretty good idea where the green pieces go, where the red pieces go, and where the blue pieces go, just by making an observation. And it's no different with the Word of God. There has to be an overview observation, and once you have that, the pieces fit together. But you need, it's much easier if you have that overview picture. If you try to just work a puzzle without any picture whatsoever, it's you can do it, but it's going to be difficult. It's going to be much more difficult. And so it is with the Word of God. If you do not get an overview, it's going to be much more difficult to make it fit. So the way to arrive at an overview observation is to read a passage of Scripture through. Let's go to John chapter 6. We'll use this as an example. And we use these verses as an example because they're simple. But in John 6, verses 37 through 39, if you were to just read it straight through without stopping to ponder, without pausing, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again the last day." Just reading it through, you notice some specifics. But one thing you should be able to pick up on is the subject. The subject, basically, you can put it in different words, but the subject basically is the mission of Christ. That's basically the subject. You could go over to John chapter 10 and read verses 14 through 18. And just reading it through, you immediately get the subject is Jesus Christ is the shepherd. Just reading it through, you know the subject. Now, knowing the subject, now you can begin to observe the parts. And the parts are, again, part of the subject. So, how do we do that? How do we observe the parts? This is crucial. If we're going to have lasting results, we have to be able to observe the parts of a passage, the parts of a verse of Scripture. So, it's important to realize, just like in English, that every sentence is an organization. So it is, or has organization, so it is with the Word of God. Every verse of Scripture has an organization. Every single verse has an organization. And it is an organization that can be broken down into parts. And that is the best way to read the Word of God. If you're looking for, if you want to get the treasures, the best thing to do is break it down into parts, to read it that way. And then you begin to see the structure. You begin to, by breaking it down in parts, you begin to observe the structure of a verse. You begin to observe the structure of a passage. And by structure, we simply mean the construction. You're now paying attention to the construction of a verse, the framework. Again, if you want to get the parts, you've got to get the framework. And the way to do that is, again, to divide it into parts. It gives us the arrangement of the verse, the passage. It gives us the basic format of the passage. Again, just like working a puzzle. What do you do first? You work the border. You don't start in the middle. You work the border. You have a framework. It's no different with reading the Word of God. You read a verse, and the best thing to do is recognize and observe the framework. Because once you can do that, Now you can look at the parts. But it's much easier to see the parts if you know the framework, if you know the structure of the verse. So how do we do that? How do we create a border or framework? And again, you can do this with any verse of Scripture. You can do it with any chapter. You can do it with a book. But to me, this is the way to read the Word of God. This is what works for me. Perhaps it won't work for you, but I find that hard to believe. You have to divide the verse up in order to see the framework. So how do we do that? We divide it up into clauses. Divide it up into phrases and parts. If I were to get up in the morning and my goal is I'm going to read John 6, 37 through 39 today, I would read it through a couple times, just reading it through. And I would make either, usually in my mind, just make general observations in my mind of what I've just read. And then I will go back, and now I'm going to break it down into clauses and phrases and parts. And I'm telling you, it's much easier to make application when you read the Word of God and by clauses and phrases and parts. It's easier to make application, and it's easier to observe. It's easy to observe when you break it into parts. So just try that. Try reading the Word of God by phrases. And when you do that, the verse pretty much outlines itself. I mean, when you begin to read and you break something down into parts, phrases, clauses, it outlines itself. You can get a pretty basic outline. Even if you have no outlining ability whatsoever, if you break it down into clauses, you can't help but see a framework. You can't help but see an outline. Now notice, if we go again to John chapter 6, we'll read verses 37 through verse 39. And this time we'll just read it by clauses, by parts, by phrases, and see if you do not observe so much more. I'm telling you, more people would be doctrinally sound if they would just read the Word of God by phrases. That you can't help but see truth when you read it this way. So if we're going to read John 6, verse 37 through 39, we would read it, "All that the Father giveth me." That's the first phrase. Now you read that and you stop. You can't help but observe. You cannot help but observe that the Father, now if you just read that straight through, you might not observe it. But if you read, "All that the Father giveth me," and stop, you can't help but realize God the Father gave some people to Christ. And you can't help but realize that. It's not a matter of intelligence. If you break it up into phrases, you automatically see that. "All that the Father giveth me," and then notice the next phrase, "shall come to me." That's the next phrase. And just read it by phrases. "All that the Father giveth me," stop. Go on to the next phrase, "shall come to me." All of them shall come to me. Next phrase, "and him that cometh to me." And then the next phrase, "I will in no wise cast out." So now just reading verse 37 by phrases, you cannot help but notice that the Father has given some to Christ. And all that he has given to Christ shall come to him. And all of them that come will not be cast out. Just read it by phrases. If you just read it straight through, you might not observe all those things. But when you read it by phrase, can't help but observe it. I love sitting down with an Arminian and have them read these verses phrase by phrase. Okay, we're going to read the first phrase, and I want you to tell me what it means. All that the Father giveth me. What's that mean? Well, it don't mean what it says. Well, there's no need for you and I to talk then, because you don't believe the Word of God. Just read it phrase by phrase. And you can't help but see these things. And then verse 38, for I came down from heaven. Okay, we're talking about the mission of Christ. That's the first phrase. Not to do mine own will. That's the second phrase. And the third phrase, but the will of him that sent me. So now, just reading that verse, phrase by phrase, we know that Christ came from heaven, and he came to do the Father's will. He came to do the Father's will. Verse 39, and this is the Father's will, which hath sent me. That would be the first phrase. So he's going to tell us, he's already told us, I've come to do the Father's will, and now I'm going to tell you what the Father's will is. That of all which he hath given me. So the Father's will concerns those whom have been given to Christ. You can't help but see that when you read it phrase by phrase. I should lose nothing. That is, it's the Father's will that I do not lose a single one of them, but should raise it up again at the last day. When you read it phrase by phrase, clause by clause, you say, well, that takes so much longer. Yes, it does. But you will get so much more out of it if you just read it phrase by phrase. Again, the first thing to do is just read it straight through without stopping. Make some general observations. You know what the subject is. And then go back and read it phrase by phrase. And then when you read it phrase by phrase, if you remember what we've talked about the last 2 weeks about application, it's much easier to ask those application questions. It's much easier to see the four intended functions of the Word of God as you read it phrase by phrase. You can see those things. And as you train yourself to do this, it just becomes natural. You just read the Word of God phrase by phrase. Sometimes it's hard for me to stand up and read the Word of God and not read it phrase by phrase, because that's how I read it. I read it phrase by phrase, clause by clause, and then I stop. And you cannot help but see truth when you do that. Then notice, we'll use another example and we'll stop for the evening. In John chapter 10, we referred to this. We'll read verse, we could read the entire chapter, but we don't have time. Let's read verse 11, and then we'll read verses 14 through verse 18. First phrase is, I am the good shepherd. That's pretty much the subject also. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life. That's the second phrase. Third phrase is for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life. And then the third phrase is for the sheep. You see, many today, they'll read John 10:11, I am the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And they'll say, see, Christ died for everybody. That's not what that verse says, and when you read it phrase by phrase, it's pretty obvious that's not what it says. I give my life for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. That's the first phrase. And know my sheep. So he's the good shepherd. And as the good shepherd, he knows the sheep. Not just the sheep, my sheep. So as the shepherd, he has sheep. And he knows those sheep. But then notice what he says, and am known of mine. That's the next phrase. I'm the good shepherd. As the good shepherd, I have sheep. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Those are just the basic truths that you get out of that verse, reading it phrase by phrase. Verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, that's the first phrase. So there is a God knowing Christ, even so know I the Father. That is, in the same degree, in the same way, there is a union. And I lay down my life. That's the next phrase. And then the next phrase is, for the sheep. I lay down my life. I lay down my life for the sheep. Next phrase, and other sheep I have. I have other sheep. That, of course, not of this Jewish fold. I have other sheep, which are not of this fold. Next phrase, them also. That is the other sheep. Next phrase, I must bring. I have other sheep. Them also I must bring. And they, the other sheep, shall hear my voice. So in bringing them, I must bring them. And in bringing them, what will they do? They will hear my voice. And there shall be one fold, that's the next phrase, and the next phrase after that is, and one shepherd. Again, you can stop at any one of these phrases and you can just think upon what you've just read, and there's much there. There's much there. Therefore, and any time I see therefore, I make that's a stopping point. Therefore, just stop and pause and then go on. Doth my Father love me? Next phrase, because, and I would stop there. And then the next phrase explains, because I lay down my life. Next phrase, the reason I lay down my life is that I might take it again. Of course, speaking of the resurrection. Next phrase, no man taketh it from me. I lay down my life. No man takes it of me. Next phrase is, but I lay it down of myself. Now again, you could stop and just ponder that. And if you would just read that phrase by phrase and just stop and think about it without trying to redefine what it says, just stop and realize what it says, I believe people would see the truth. I mean, they're either going to just plain deny it, but they cannot help but see that's what's written. Now, you may deny it, but that's what's written. And again, if they're going to deny it, there's no sense in talking to them, because they don't believe what's written. And he goes on, he says, I have power to lay it down. That would be the next phrase. The next phrase, and I have power to take it again. The next phrase is, this commandment have I received of my Father. That is, the commandment of the Father is that I lay down my life for the sheep, and that I take it again for the sheep. And this commandment have I received of my Father. And if people would just read that phrase by phrase, they wouldn't come up with this nonsense that God was so greatly saddened when Jesus died on the cross. This commandment have I received of my Father. I mean, he was commanded to do this. This is what he came for. So just get in the habit of reading a verse, and the best way to start is just a few verses at a time. Just read a few verses at a time. Read them through. Do not stop. Just read it through. Make some general observations, and then go back, read it phrase by phrase. Now, a lot of times when you start reading it phrase by phrase, what's going to happen is You're going to read the first phrase, maybe the second phrase, and you might not get much further. You might not get much further because the Lord may speak abundantly to you right at that point. And you may be just overwhelmed, just stopping and thinking what you just read. I mean, just reading the words, "I'm the good shepherd," and stop and think about that, that's a lot to think about in one day. It really is. "I lay down my life for the sheep." I mean, I can think about that all day long. "My sheep know me, I know them." You read it by a phrase, and that phrase, you can think about that all day long. You can think about it all week long. So learn to read the Word of God phrase by phrase. And that, to me, is one of the foundations. And as we get into looking at details, you will see if you read it phrase by phrase, and when you get into observing words, it's so much easier to observe those things when you just read it a phrase at a time. Just read it a phrase at a time. And it's so much easier to understand. More importantly, it's so much easier to observe. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us in a verse of song. Let's all stand. Brother Jim, lead us in singing.